You know, you talk to Tiki Barber, you talk to the New York Giants, and that was the late game last night, and they look terrible. They look terrible offensively, and you wonder, without Odell Beckham Jr., who was a late scratch, how much of a difference that would have made. Good morning, Tiki Barber.
Yeah, I added an adjective before that, terrible.
I wasn't trying to, I knew we'd be talking today. I wasn't trying to guess how many yards you'd have had behind that Giants offensive line, but it's kind of chicken and egg. Like, they have to abandon the run because they get behind, and then realizing, well, they weren't running very well in the first place. Tell us what you, there were six NFL teams yesterday, Tiki, that scored 9 points or fewer. There were only two last year. We saw a lot of sputtering offenses and the quarterback changes that you just don't usually see in week one at halftime, right?
No, you really don't. And if you're fans of those teams, if you're players on those teams, especially if you're coaches on those teams, the level of frustration has to be high because you know that it's obviously not what you expected. And especially for a team like the New York Giants, it came into the season with such great expectations. I got to tell you, their defense played phenomenal for the New York Giants. It was just they were on the field for too long. I mean, almost 50 plays they ran in the first half because the Giants offense couldn't stay on the field. Let's not forget, you usually average about 65 plays for a game. So to run 50 and a half is exhausting. And you know, just getting back to the Giants run game, it's one thing to be ineffective and not capable of picking up viable yardage on first, second down, whatever the running situation is. It's a completely different situation to only attempt 11 rushing attempts throughout the game. Now, this game wasn't that far out of hand that they had to do that. And so it's a reevaluation of what they're doing offensively, because play action pass doesn't work if you're no threat to run the football.
But you know what? We saw several teams that were not good at the run last year look a whole lot better yesterday because they went out and got some people that helped them either on the offensive line or in the backfield. The Giants were bad, and they're still bad.
Yeah, no, you're right. They didn't address it offensive line-wise. And look, I don't know if they have they may have the right personnel up front. The problem is that they're not working well together. And I always throw these analogies out there about the dance that takes place on offensive line play, and you know how they have to learn how to help each other and not just be concentrated on their little island, like my tackle island, my guard island. But it's got to be the symbiotic thing that's going on. And then you got to mess with the running back. The Giants just don't have that, and it's a lack of experience. You get these training camps that are, you know, one a days anymore. You don't hit as often, and so that meshing can only happen in game time and against really good defenses like the Dallas Cowboys were up front last night. Defensively, you're going to struggle. There's also a monetary thing here. We saw the same thing with the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson was running for his life half the time, and their run game wasn't as effective. You end up spending money on other places. The Giants have done it over the last couple of years on the defensive side of the ball. The Seattle Seahawks have done it defensively on that side of the ball, and you end up having to sacrifice somewhere. Unfortunately, it turns out to be the offensive line, which is, I know, and I think you guys know as well, watching football, as long as you certainly have, you have to build your core. I know you got to pay other guys, but you got to build your core because it comes back to haunt you if you don't.
Tiki Barber joining us, of course, our NFL insider every Monday morning, three-time Pro Bowler, 10 years in the league. So you tell us, as a player, how easy it is it to shut out that early record and the talk about it, whether you're really good or whether you're really bad. Let's face it, by 8 games in, 10 games in, 12 games in, you are what you are. Bill Parcells always said that. You're what your record is. But early on, like, look at Seattle. Even last year, Tiki, they scored 12 and they beat Miami in week one. They lost to the Rams 9-3 the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They scored 26 points each week. They scored 37 in one of the weeks, and the offense was up and rolling. But Seattle's got to shut that out until they post those results. They can't listen to the noise, right?
Yeah, exactly right. At the end of the day, it's one game, and you have an opportunity to get better, obviously, during the week. And if it's a loss like what the Giants had, where you lose to a division rival, that stings a little bit more. For the Seattle Seahawks to lose to a very good Aaron Rodgers and getting better defensive Packers team, it's swallowable in a way. It's obviously not how you want to begin your season. But you get past it because it's only week one. Now, if this continues for the first quarter of the season, so you get through, you know, four games and you're 1-3 and you're not showing improvement, that's when you start scratching your head, really start scratching your head, and that's when you start getting frustrated. And then fingers start getting pointed, and the media will chime in, and then social media will chime in, and before you know it, it becomes chaos if you don't have strong leadership, both from a coaching staff standpoint and from a player standpoint.
Tiki, obviously, since it's the most recent thing we've seen, it's on our minds. It's almost like the New England-Kansas City game wasn't part of week one, but it was. Are there teams in the AFC that feel a whole lot better about their chances having watched New England in week one, or was that just an anomaly? They're not going to be that team.
No, I don't think the Pats are going to be that way the entire season. You know, there were some minor things that happened in that Kansas City game that threw them off. One, obviously, the timing after losing Amendola, those little crossing routes just wasn't there. Right, you didn't see very many Tom Brady take three steps or five steps and hit somebody crossing across the field and pick up 18 yards. Like, God, how come nobody else could do that? Well, Kansas City did an amazing job. They didn't put any pressure on them, right? You go back in your mind and remember that game. Tom Brady was just standing still for half the game because they were only rushing three. And you drop eight into coverage, there's really nowhere for him to go with the ball. So as a result, we saw him throwing the ball downfield a ton, which is not Tom Brady's MO. His accuracy post 25 yards is not where he's, you know, made his Hall of Fame career. And so they'll figure out a way to attack that when teams want to do that. They'll run the ball more. They'll keep a guy in the backfield because you're going to drop eight and rush three, then there's huge rushing lanes. And then on the defensive side, they gave up two big plays, two enormous plays, really. A 75-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill, which is just a safety bad decision by Devin McCourty, who never looked back out to the half when he had a cover two situation. Then they got a mismatch with Kareem Hunt on a linebacker who went 78 yards for a touchdown. You take away those two plays, it's not as dominating a Kansas City performance people saw. And knowing Bill Belichick, knowing Tom Brady, and knowing Josh McDaniels, our offensive coordinator, they'll go back to the drawing board. People want to sound the alarm because it was such a blowout on the scoreboard, but never count the Patriots out.
Tiki Barber, our guest. The rookie quarterbacks from last year, specifically Goff, specifically Wentz, I kind of bristled at all the criticism at them. I thought they got pushed into tough situations. But we adjust expectations, right? I'm sure you guys talk about this on your show. Andrew Luck was great his rookie year. Robert Griffin III was. Russell Wilson was. Cam Newton was pretty good. But let's go back. I mean, Peyton Manning led the league in interceptions and was 3-13. He was not good as a 22-year-old coming out of Tennessee. So I looked at Goff and Wentz yesterday, Tiki, and I saw evolution. We're screaming for these guys to be so good the rookie year just because other guys were, and sometimes it's about their own evolution, sometimes it's about who their coach is. Look how much better Goff looks when with Jeff Fisher not his coach, with this young brilliant coach in LA, right?
Yeah, Sean McVay, who's been fantastic. And the other thing that we're not even talking about, think of the teams that were surrounding them, right? The Rams stunk last year, personnel-wise. Yeah, they had Todd Gurley, but they couldn't figure out how to get him the ball effectively. And so a new scheme around him has shown huge dividends. And by the way, speaking of the Colts, how bad are they going to be this year?
Yes.
We knew that without Andrew Luck, they were going to take a little bit of a step, you know, back, but I mean, they didn't even look like a professional team yesterday against the Rams. And we're talking about the Rams. I know the Rams are growing, but they're not world beaters to put up 49 points. But you're right, and you saw it with Carson Wentz as well. Carson Wentz probably was thrown in the worst situation of anybody out there because he was expected to be a backup and learn behind a pretty viable vet in Sam Bradford all season long. And a week before the season starts, he's thrust into a starter's role, and he actually played admirably. And so you knew that he was going to take those steps, especially with Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, his head coach and offensive coordinator, respectively, both being former NFL quarterbacks. All of those things that you see on game day, that you see in the film, you're going to get taught by very high-level professionals. So you knew that he would evolve. And we saw that against the Washington Redskins last night, a game which my brother called, by the way. So if you heard somebody that sounded like me, that was Rondé Barber. But sometimes we put too high of expectations on these young kids. not realizing that it takes a team, both who they're playing with and their coordinators and the schemes that apply to them, for them to actually grow into viable players and not just click right away like a Dak Prescott did last season.
Tiki, it's been easy to point at the quarterback situation for Houston having a bad day yesterday, but that wasn't half the story. There were 10 sacks of Houston yesterday and 12 plays that ended up in minus yardage. That's 22 plays behind the line of scrimmage. The Houston defense only delivered 3 of those. Watt and Clowney did nothing yesterday. Yeah. So easy to point at the quarterback, but that defense was not good.
No, it wasn't good at all. And Jacksonville was smart, right? On paper, they know Jacksonville Jaguars, and this is our trouble evaluating them as we came into the season, me and BT on our show. It was, you look at them on paper, and it's like, wow, Calais Campbell goes there. By the way, he had 4 sacks yesterday. Miles Jack, 14 tackles, which was now leading the league after 1 week in the season. They have all of these unbelievable playmakers offensively and defensively. They extracted Leonard Fournette, who's just a stud, who rushed for 100 yards. On paper, it was all Jags. Almost any team you match him up against, on paper, save the quarterback, they have the advantage. But the quarterback has always been that question mark. And I think, you know, this is probably a Tom Coughlin influence, who knows how to start young quarterbacks. He did it with Eli, obviously, after 11 weeks in his rookie season. Blake isn't young. He's had a season where he threw for 35 touchdowns, but he needed to reset. He had 16 pass attempts yesterday. 16. That's it. 11 completions. They didn't put him in position to make mistakes. And as a result, the Jacksonville Jaguars could let every one of those star guys that I was just listing on the offensive side and defensive side of the ball be exceptional and do their jobs. And then you couple that with the Houston Texans team, which people have high hopes for, having an inept quarterback in Tom Savage. Now, he's not going to kill you. He's a good backup, but he can't throw an out route. I mean, I'm not talking about like a 15-yard out route where it takes some timing and, you know, a rocket arm to get it in there. I'm talking about like an 8-yard out route. He can't get it there. And we saw that multiple times in those pick sixes. He's just not a strong enough arm quarterback to do even the little things to be viable. As a result, you get turnovers going the other way. You get touchdowns on defense. And you get a team like Houston that everybody thought was going to be good getting blown out by a Jacksonville team where everybody thought was going to be horrible.
So I'm curious to get your read tonight. Adrian Peterson goes back to Minnesota, plays for the Saints, 11,000-plus yards in a Viking uniform, and he was beloved there. And then, you know, we found out some stuff about him, right? There were child abuse allegations. There were there were things that the Viking fans, none of us, they all made us shudder a little bit if we're parents, as you are too, and it was just hard to reconcile. And I'm sure there's Viking fans that, and there were then, that embraced him. There were some that turned their back on him. But it will be, look, we're all going to be watching tonight to see what tonight is like. It's got that awkwardness to it, doesn't it?
God, it's the best way to put it. It is awkward because there's a legion of fans there that love him. I mean, he's all day. That's his nickname, all day. Because he'd give it to you all day. He tears his ACL. He comes back the next season and rushes for 2,000 yards. All day, Adrian Peterson. He was a staple. He put butts in the seats, even if the Vikings were stunk and had bad seasons. But it got really complicated at the end with the ineffectiveness on the field, which wasn't all his fault. Part of it was because of their offensive line, because of the switch incident with his kid, which was obviously deemed child abuse and forced him to serve a suspension under the NFL's code of conduct policy. And then there's the, I want to make all this money and I won't take a pay cut. As a result, they got to cut me and I got to go someplace else and play. And lo and behold, I'm going to the Saints, who's playing us week one. Which, by the way, the Saints signed him after the schedule came
after,
out.
Yeah.
It was just kind of coincidence or just awesome for us to watch. So I honestly have no idea what the reception is going to be. My gut is that it's going to be rousing cheers. But I honestly can't tell you. But I do know that he'll be motivated. I do know that this Minnesota team will also be motivated, and they have one of the very good young runners in Dalvin Cook from Florida State, who can do everything. Sam Bradford, obviously, in the preseason, continued what he started last year in his completion percentage, but there was nothing real explosive. I think they need to find some explosion in their offense, some game-changing, field position-changing type plays slash players. Otherwise, they may struggle in the NFC North this year. And the Saints are on a prove-it year. I mean, this really is for everybody. I don't think Sean Payton's in danger of getting, you know, quote, fired, but he is getting to the point where it's like, man, maybe you've worn out your welcome. You've been here the third longest coach in the NFL, I think 11 seasons. Drew Brees has a non-franchise clause in his contract, which means they're going to have to make a very hard decision about him as one of the oldest, and even though he's been great, tenured quarterbacks in the National Football League. So it's, I think this game has a ton of intrigue behind it for obviously their teams if we're starting season game one, but the little pieces, the little stories littered throughout this game make it an awesome for Monday night showdown.